If you remember, Steve Jobs talks about, he gave a commencement speech in 2005 to Stanford University graduates talking about stay hungry, stay foolish. When you think about how you want to be remembered, then the sooner you start thinking about that, you can start living your life like that. And so why not, the younger, the better. So that's definitely one assignment that really gets people grounded, focused fast.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with John Freed. She is a seasoned professor turned legacy expert. John shares her journey from academia to authorship, revealing the driving force behind her work in leadership and character development. Through deep dives into legacy building and the concept of breadcrumb legacy, Jeanne imparts timeless wisdom on creating a meaningful impact in both personal and professional spheres. Tune in to discover how to craft a legacy that resonates long beyond your lifetime. Jeanne Freed. Jeanne, thank you so much for taking the time on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Jeanne, I love what you do and what inspired you and take the walk to where you are today. You've done a lot of things, obviously, over the years, and it's just amazing to see like so much. Like, you did a lot of deep dive on your legacy work and creating that breadcrumb legacy. That concept that you came up with is just really inspiring. What you're doing today might have been taking you a long time to get to where you are today. So take us back a little bit to basically just show us how you got to where you are today.
Sure. No, that's a great question. It is a long journey. My first career was as a professor at a small college. So I taught full time. And I say I only did that for 30 years. So small liberal arts college. And I taught business management and leadership. And in about 2005, I was given an endowed chair in leadership and character development. And that gave me a little more time to do more research. And so I started a project of interviewing some of the top thought leaders in the field. And my driving question was, given what, how can I best prepare people to be the kinds of leaders needed in these uncertain times? Now, I will say that when I started this project, which was probably about 2007, then 2008, the financial crisis, the times have only become more uncertain with, and now with COVID. And but I started this project, interviewed more than 100 people, and that research resulted in a book called Leading with Wisdom, Sage Advice from 100 Experts. And that book was published by ATD in Association for Training and Development in 2013. And I got hired to do some speaking and workshops. And one of the chapters, and each chapter was a theme that emerged from the research. And one of the chapters that really seemed to resonate with leaders was this chapter called Leaders Live Their Legacy. So then I started doing more of a deep dive on legacy work. And during
Keep going.
Okay. So the chapter that resonated with leaders often was Leaders Live Their Legacy. So I started doing a deep dive into legacy work. And then during COVID, I had started this work thinking that it would be another book. And then during COVID, my workshop speaking definitely came to a halt. So I call this book my COVID book. And really focused on that. And so my latest book is called Breadcrumb Legacy, How Great Leaders Live a Life Worth Remembering. And out of my teaching and all of that work and the Leading with Wisdom work and that book, and then that led to this book. And now I'm trying to leverage this because I think it really has a long shelf life. Legacy, not only did it become more front and center during COVID, but people of all ages now, COVID really gave employees at all ages and all stages of life time to pause and think about what am I doing with my life? And is this what I want to do? And that's when we had the great reckoning or great resignation or quiet quitting. Lots of trends happened because employees really started to think about what really matters and what's important and where do I want to be and how do I want to spend my time? So I think the book is timeless.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right, because breadcrumb is an analogy that literally any single person can relate to. I have a one-year-old son and he's eating bagel yesterday and there's breadcrumbs all over the sofa. There's breadcrumbs every place that he went while eating that bagel. We can see breadcrumbs. So it's a term that is as old as books, right?
Yeah.
Books are something that literally anybody and everybody reads. My same one-year-old son, when we were putting him to bed, he sits down, pulls a blanket up and is like, all right, I'm ready to read the book. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I trademarked that term. And really, I came to that because when I was doing workshops from Leading with Wisdom, I would ask leaders or people, whoever the participants are, I'd say, when do we leave our legacy? And people would say, when we leave. And I'd say, yes. When we die, we leave the earth. When we retire, we leave a job. And I'd say, that's true. But what happens when I leave this workshop today? Or every meeting, every conversation, if you think about it in terms of moments, then I say that the breadcrumb analogy can be like your guiding light. It can be like your true north. It can be a moral compass to keep you on the right path.
No, you're 100% right, because if you think from the perspective of what I've learned and what I've learned just in the past 1 hour, that is something that I am going to take with me. It's an experience that we're going, and that's almost like a you leaving a legacy on me being able to remember you from what I've learned from that experience. And when you're doing these workshops, you're doing exactly the same thing. They're taking away information that they didn't have before.
Yes. Yeah. Or it's a new way of looking at moments. I was reading something the other day where a woman said that her mom's favorite mantra was, don't miss the moment. And I think when you look at moments and they accumulate, so whether they're crumbs or moments, or I think it's a way to remind yourself that I will share another story. So I was doing a workshop, a legacy, and I had one of the leaders say to me, don't you think it's self-centered that you're thinking about your legacy all the time? And it just seems like that is being very self-centered. And I said, let's not use the word legacy. Let's use the word impact or influence. I said, do you find that to be self-centered, that you're thinking about the impact or influence you're having on others on a daily basis? And he said, no, I don't find that self-centered. So I think it's just a way of thinking about what difference are you making, and it's not always positive.
And that also comes from their mindset and what they were brought up with, right? And it's really interesting to see all of that, because in reading this latest book, it's not the latest book, but the book I'm reading currently is The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy.
I know that.
And they talk about, you made your past and you make your future, because nobody else knows your past or your future. What you say becomes your future. And that's how your mindset is. And you can literally put it, you can literally create your future and your past from where you are present right now.
Yeah. I have that book. I haven't read it yet. Do they talk about legacy, or do they? Because I know that Ben Hardy talks a lot about creating your future.
Yes. Yeah. So they don't mention it by the word legacy.
Okay.
But they're also almost saying that stay in the moment right now and always be measuring from where you came, as opposed to what you want to do, which is great. You mean you want to have a thing of what you want to do, but then also sometimes you're like putting yourself in the gap, meaning, oh my God, I was supposed to call 10 people, but I only called 2 people. Blah. You're basically putting yourself in the gap and being sad about it and having those negative emotions, because they then manufacture the cortisol and the stress chemicals in our brains when we focus on that aspect.
Sure, sure.
But if you say, hey, I did 2 calls today and I had so much to learn from the people that I talked to, and I came away successful off of that.
Right. No, it's a mindset. Yeah.
It is, yeah. And it's really powerful. So what you're saying is about setting that legacy and setting that legacy up for not only yourself, but also the people that are coming with and behind you. For example, the reason I started doing the podcast is, number one, I wanted to document my journey, but also level up and build my own mindset on who I am. And it's now record in time that, hey, this is where Junaid was. And it's also going to live on forever because now my kids can come and listen because they're younger right now. So they don't understand the things. But when they go and listen, my God, dad used to talk about these things. And we remember seeing that in real life.
Yeah. I also host a podcast called Becoming a Sage.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that as my legacy. My children are adults. They're working adults and they're busy. So I don't, every now and then they may listen to one of them. When I'm no longer here, they should be able to listen to whatever they want. And I think that it's like a living memoir or a living autobiography. So anyway, that's great.
No, it's really powerful. So talk to me about, how do you work with people that you are currently working with? So you're on this journey of hosting your podcast. You have the book, The Breadcrumb Legacy, which is really blowing up. When people come to you and work with you, Dr. Jan, how do they work? What are some of the things that they can take away?
Yeah. So I do coaching for leaders. I do leadership development workshops. Mm-hmm. And then I do speaking engagements. And one of the things that I like to weave in so much in my legacy book, Breadcrumb Legacy, my favorite chapters have to do, it's the book is really for anyone, everyone.
Of course.
You have to have a niche, so leadership. But I say the most important person to lead is ourselves anyway.
Yes.
But my favorite chapters in the book have to do with embracing death, relationships, building, cultivating and sustaining relationships, keeping your ego in check. So I've got favorite chapters. And when you think about it, really, it's about navigating disruption or navigating change. How do you navigate life in a way that you can live your best life, but still deal with uncertainties when they come your way? And how can you still leave a positive breadcrumb legacy in these uncertain times? I weave it into my leadership coaching and workshops. And because another segment of the population that I like to deal with is people who are retiring, people who are looking for careers, because I say, if we are what we do and we don't do it anymore, then who are we? So a lot of people feel lost once they've left their career, particularly men. I think I talk about this in my Breadcrumb Legacy book, but women tend to have more outlets. We're in book clubs and wine clubs and dinner clubs.
Sure.
And men tend to focus on work and I'm generalizing, but work and athletics, golf, tennis, if they're not working. Okay.
Yeah.
And women tend to gather more than men. So therefore, it really, a lot of men feel lost once they've left their career. And most people, Robert Waldinger and his book, The Good Life, that just was published in 2023, he says the good life after decades of research, and this is the Harvard longitudinal study, but he says, if you had to boil it down, the good life is relationships. But a lot of men feel lost without their, because a lot of their relationships are what Arthur Brooks talks about in his book, From Strength to Strength. Arthur Brooks talks about a lot of relationships, particularly for men, are transactional. They're deal relationships. We're making deals. They're not real relationships. And so anyway, so really, I would say that I weave this in terms of how to navigate change, how to navigate disruption, how to navigate your life through numerous transitions.
No, you're absolutely right. And that makes a lot of sense, because I'm thinking about, I was listening to this one psychologist talk about why men or fathers play with their kids, whereas moms, they'll do different activities. It's because those are the different activities that releases oxytocin for both mom and dad. So I was like, wow, that's interesting. So when dads will always play with kids because dad releases oxytocin for the both of them. But when the kids come to the mom, they hug and they cuddle, and that's what releases oxytocin for both mom and the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, wow, that's really
it's fascinating. But I'm telling you, I think particularly with the pandemic and COVID and social isolation, loneliness was an epidemic before the pandemic. So that's something I'm very passionate about now, how to help people understand the value of relationships. And that's what Robert Waldinger is. He's going around, he was on NPR yesterday talking about his book. And it's one thing to talk about we need relationships, but I like to emphasize, how do you do that? And what are the best ways to do that? And yeah.
No, that's really powerful. Dr. Jan, how about we go, let's say you're doing a session with one of your clients, one of your leaders, students. Uh-huh. What are some of the things that you work with so that folks listening here get an idea of, oh, this is how I'll have an experience with Dr. Jan if I do go and work with you?
Okay. I'm a senior consultant with the Genesis Group, and this company, we're certified, and we have a process called strategic futuring. When I'm working with individual clients, I integrate this where we really try to think of, it's really strategic planning for your future, okay? So it's very similar to like strategic planning for organizations, but the focus is on yourself. Where do you want to be, and what do you want to be, and what's your personal mission statement, and what are your values? Because it really does start with yourself. And it took me a while to develop my mission statement, which is, I want to continue to learn and share what I'm learning with others. Mm. So I actually went through the strategic futuring process, and it works like magic. It's not easy. It takes some time to really think through this, but I use that mission statement to filter when I get asked to do things, when I'm trying to decide how to spend my time. Because if I'm not going to learn and I can't share that learning with others, then I don't know that I really want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not passionate about it. This process talks about mission, values, envisioning, really finding an accountability partner, somebody who will help you do this. And when I work with couples, I actually work with couples for the same price as I work with individuals. Because if two people aren't on the same page about where you want to go, when I was younger, I didn't really understand when people said they got divorced because they grew apart. And I'm like, how do you grow apart? Now that I'm older, I understand two people, if you're not talking and you're not having those conversations, you may not be on the same path.
Yeah.
And so that's one example.
Sure.
So it's a lot of inner work, getting people to think about. And one of the chapters in both, I have a chapter both in Leading with Wisdom and Breadcrumb Legacy, having to do with the ego.
Mm.
I might mention that I was fortunate enough to do two TEDx talks. Now, one was during COVID, so that was virtual.
Congratulations.
And they both can be found on YouTube. One's called Becoming a Nobody, and that's about ego. And the other one's called Embracing Death, Seeing Life Through a Different Lens. That's about really embracing your own death. And that's actually become, since COVID, popular in terms of when we learn how to die, we learn how to live. If people want to know more, they could search for those on YouTube.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be sure to include those links in the show notes. Walk me through how somebody would come up with their mission statement. Let's say we're doing an exercise, you're working with somebody, and somebody listening to this episode, I'm like, hey, I want to figure out what my mission statement would be.
Okay.
So what are some of the exercises that we would do?
Okay. First of all, a lot of people, instead of mission, they would call it a purpose statement.
Mm.
So what's your purpose? And the purpose guy has been a mentor to me, Richard Leider. He's out of Minneapolis, Leider. And he wrote the book, The Power of Purpose. He's written several books, and I like his writing. So he talks about, and I also cite him in my book, purpose. A lot of people think, oh, I've got to be Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King Jr. or my purpose. It doesn't have to be purpose with a big P. It can be a small P. So basically, and Richard Leider talks about this, is what's going to get you up in the morning? What's going to get you up in the morning? And people of all at all ages, particularly because of COVID, are really thinking about what's my purpose? What's important to me? What am I going to find meaningful? And that's why lots of industries are being disrupted, because people are really thinking about, I'm not going to live forever, so what do I want to do? We just talk about, what are you passionate about? And what matters to you? And what difference do you want to make? And what will get you up in the morning?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be work-related. A purpose can be, you may not find what you're really passionate about and your purpose in your paid position.
Right.
But maybe something outside of work that when you're done, this is something that you find fulfilling. And so, yeah.
No, that's really powerful. And it actually reminds me of a story my friend recently told me. And when he was growing up, and he told his dad, hey, dad, I want to work for nonprofit organizations and help them elevate. So his dad told him, the first thing that you want to do is you want to make a lot of money so that you can, when you do run a nonprofit organization, you have the money to be able to support it as well and then get the message out. So he was like, wow, that's really interesting, because we all want to feel belong, or we all want to be part of a bigger purpose. We all want to be part of a bigger mission. But what's important is that every single mission, every single purpose requires fuel.
Yes.
And that fuel is money. So if you have no money, you're done going out and doing fundraising and collecting donations and whatnot. But if you have a system in place, then you can self-fund. And we've seen this happen countless number of times, like the Bill and Linda Foundation, right? Yeah. He was able to launch this foundation in really quickly because he already had the funding.
Sure.
So I'm not sure about Steve Jobs, but there's the Maria Shriver Foundation that Arnold Schwarzenegger launched. Yeah. All of these are possible because these are successful entrepreneurs, and these are successful people that are able to bring the cloud and bring the fuel to help launch these nonprofit organizations.
Right. And I think it's a way of looking at what you're doing. Like, you may not, someone may not be in the ideal job, but if the ideal job is helping fuel their passions, then they see the connection. And then I think they enjoy their job more.
Yes. You
know? I think that's great. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, Jan, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, you'll share 3 hacks for our audience.
Okay.
Finding the right guest or podcast can feel like searching for a needle in a haystack, unless you bring a magnet. And thanks to PodMatch, a service that automatically attracts your ideal interview guests to your podcast. I've enjoyed using PodMatch for Hacks and Hobbies and interviewed over 100 fantastic guests from this platform alone. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/podmatch to save time and find your perfect match. Check out PodMatch today. Again, go to hacksandhobbies.com/podmatch or tap on the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, welcome back. It's Junaid here on Hacks and Hobbies podcast. We've been talking with Dr. Jan Fried and having a ton of fun talking about her book, The Breadcrumb Legacy, and the amazing things that she's done over the years and how to think about what you're doing and how to make that a memory for others to follow and whatnot. Super excited. Dr. Jan, you've got a few tips for us, 3 hacks for us that we can implement in our lives. Let's take it away.
Okay. First of all, I will say that at the end of each chapter in Breadcrumb Legacy, I have what I call breadcrumb ingredients for implementing those chapter concepts. So at the end of each chapter, I have all kinds of hacks and tips and exercises. So I'll just pick out a few. Perfect. One exercise that I actually started when I was still teaching full-time with undergraduates is, in a leadership course, I would have them write their own eulogy. And I would tell them, I said, there are only 2 requirements. One, you're going to share it. And 2, it's mandatory. Actually, there are 3. And 3, it's not graded. So you have to do it. You have to share it. And there's no grade. And it turned into a very meaningful exercise. And I talk about that in my TED talk on embracing death, because my point was, and I was doing this with 20 to 22 year olds. And initially, and it happens at the end of the semester. So initially students would, they're all confused. Why would we do this? How does that relate to leadership? By the time they're halfway through the course, they get it, because I created an environment. If you remember, Steve Jobs talks about, he gave a commencement speech in 2005 to Stanford University graduates talking about stay hungry, stay foolish. When you think about how you want to be remembered, then the sooner you start thinking about that, you can start living your life like that. And so why not, the younger, the better. So that's definitely one assignment that really gets people grounded, focused fast. And I would tell them, you could write it in first person, third person. You could write it as if you die tomorrow, you live to be 80 or 90. There are no rules. So that's one. I think with purpose, I think starting to think about, just answer the question, what gets you up in the morning? And if you don't have anything, or you're not excited, or you don't want to get up in the morning, then I think that's something to start exploring. I think in terms of relationships, people get busy, and young families, we go through phases in life. But the problem with relationships is you really do have to invest in them. Yes. Sometimes you can pick up where you left off if you haven't seen somebody in 20 years. But I basically use my holiday card as a way to stay in touch with people. And I send out about 250.
Wow.
And I, not only do I send them out, but I make them. And so I have friends that, it's a long story, because they always hang, they can be ornaments, or my Jewish friends say they hang them on candelabras or doorknobs. But I have friends who have a Christmas, they'll have a whole Christmas tree just full of my cards, because I've been doing it for over 40 years. Again, that's part of my legacy. I send a lot of written notes to stay in touch with people. That's part of my legacy. So when you're thinking about what are the breadcrumbs that you're leaving, and are they positive? Because not all breadcrumbs. And the other thing is, we make mistakes. We're not perfect people. So I've got a segment in the book about compassion, forgiveness, understanding. There are times when, if we've made a mistake, but we need to be self-aware so that we can make amends about that. I think those are some hacks: self-awareness and asking yourself questions and thinking about your eulogy. How would you want to be remembered? Not your obituary. Now, anymore, they're sounding more and more alike. It used to be that obituaries focused on what you did, what you accomplished, and eulogies are your character and who you were. So I would say those are some of my top hacks.
No, I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Jen. That makes so much sense, because it's almost like you're remembering all the wins, right? You're remembering all the characters that you had, and how you were able to impact. One of the exercises that the gap in the game model talks about is mental subtraction. Okay. Almost like mental subtraction, meaning anything that you're not liking, like you hate your job, guess what? It's gone. You don't have a job. How do you feel?
Oh. Right,
so you eliminate that you're not liking. And then that kind of puts you in the perspective of, oh my God, I am so much better off now than I was ever before, because where we are today. So
okay.
It puts
well,
you in that positive mindset.
You convinced me to go read that book, because I have it on my shelf. I have it on my shelf.
Awesome. Oh, I'm glad. Okay. You're going to enjoy it for sure. It's a really good read. Okay. I've been loving every chapter for sure.
Good.
So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, sharing your wisdom, sharing your knowledge, and super excited with where we've gone so far. On the last segment of the show, I love asking these questions that help round out the rest of the episode. So number one, exploring uncharted territories, name a hobby you've always wanted to dive into but haven't yet, and why?
Because usually you think of hobbies are things that you do. But what haven't I done? Oh, that I want to explore.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's a tough, question, because usually I have a lot of hobbies and I do explore them. So if I
You've done a lot already.
Yeah, I have a lot of hobbies. I probably have too many. I get very distracted. Because creativity, I think, is very important. And
I agree.
So I don't know. Go to the next question.
Okay. Rewinding time, what childhood dream job did you aspire to, and how does it contrast with what your current career is?
Okay. I don't know that I had it when I was in college. I thought I wanted to be a corporate trainer in a big corporation. But what I want to change the question a little bit. If I could have anyone's job now and in the future, I would want to be Terry Gross on NPR or Krista Tippett on Bean. I like to interview people, which is why I have a podcast. That's who I'd like to be.
Nice. I like it. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
I don't watch a lot of TV, but I love movies. If I watch TV, it's usually a movie. When I think about, I love the movie Big with Tom Hanks. I've seen it so many times that I think I know it by heart. And what do I like about that movie? I think it's because, you know, don't give up your sense of wonder. Don't give up your childhood. I love it when he's made this girlfriend and here they are adults. And she says, that's what I like about you. You're a grown up. Because he's so fun. He's so much fun.
Yeah. Nice. I love it. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Ooh, these are good questions.
Thanks.
These are good questions. I was always a Meg Ryan fan. Meg Ryan, I like the way she dresses. And I would say When Harry Met Sally or You've Got Mail or Sleepless in Seattle.
Nice.
Again, those are favorite movies and I've seen them often.
Nice. I love it. All right, next up, who is your favorite superhero?
I would say Dr. Ruth. Dr. Ruth is my superhero. Now, some of your listeners may not know who she is, but she's like 94. She's still writing, speaking. She's a sex therapist. She's less than 5 feet tall, and she's just a dynamo. And I actually had a chance to meet her in person briefly.
That's amazing.
Okay.
That's beautiful. All right, last up. If you were a board game, what would it be?
I don't play a lot of board games. I don't know, maybe Scrabble because I like words. I like thinking about words. I like putting words together. Okay.
You are an author, so you gotta
like words.
Like words. I love it. Dr. Jan, thank you so much for coming on again.
This is fun. A lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where would you want people to connect with you? Would it be?
I'm very active on LinkedIn. I am on Instagram. My website, which is janfried.com, two N's and two E's. I write a column for Training Magazine. So if any of you are reading training, I have a monthly newsletter. So if they go to my website, it's a monthly newsletter that's easy to read and full of resources. And if they do subscribe, they would get a monthly newsletter and then they would get my monthly podcast where I interview people about wisdom, work and life wisdom. So those are the best places.
Awesome.
Probably LinkedIn and my website.
Okay, perfect. I'll be sure to put in all of those links on the show notes so that people can get to you.
Thank you.
And discover your podcast, check out your book, and learn all the cool things that you've been doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.